many people from around the world have drooled when they've heard about the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped Web Braille Service. But Web Braille is only available to American citizens. And of course it's good for American citizens to have an alternative. One site that all of the world can use is the International Electronic Braille Library. To tell us about that, here's Peter Donahue, who maintains it.
The name of the project is they call it the International Electronic Braille Library. And what we did over the past 2 years, and we're continuing to do it, is we have a group of volunteers who have gone out and gotten ASCII text files from places like Project Gutenberg, NFBNet, the Internet Public Library, and various other ebook sites around the web or wherever you can find them. And we've also had some people get books and scan them into ASCII text for us and translate them into grade 2 Braille. Then what we did was we took those files that they sent us and we put them up on the website so that blind people can go up there and either read them online or they can download them and read them offline using a note taker, something like a Braille and Speak or a Braille Note, or they can produce a hard copy. We've got a number of books up there that we created embosser-ready Braille volumes for, so that way all a teacher or a blind person who wants a hard copy Braille book for themselves has to do is open up the file and that they can go ahead and print themselves out the volumes for the entire book.
So all of these texts that are up there on the site are grade 2 Braille files, are they?
Yes. I think we've got maybe at least one book that I know of that's in grade 1. And we either have or we did have a sample book in the Unified Braille Code, because I know that there's been folks that have wanted to take a look at that and to get an idea of what's being proposed. If it's not there now, I'll see to it that we do have it up there, so that way folks can take a look at it and see just what it is that is being worked on to develop a universal Braille code.
What gave you the idea to get involved in this in the first place?
Well, actually, I had known that this type of thing was feasible because I've been a web surfer for a number of years and it's kind of interesting how all this happened, because even I was thinking about wouldn't it be neat, instead of having to cart these big bulky Braille volumes around, you could just go up and download them from a website like this. And then the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, they put up a trial site and I went up there and checked it out, and as people know nowadays, they operate their web Braille site. And then it was about August of 1998, I got a call from Dr. T.V. Cranmer, or Tim Cranmer, who was then the president of the International Braille Research Center. And I was at the National Federation of the Blind Convention in Dallas that year, and we have an organization called NAPUB, the National Association to Promote the Use of Braille. And during the meeting, the subjects about Internet Braille came up. And yes, I was quite knowledgeable and kind of knew my way around up there. I had brought up some issues and answered some questions that people asked me about. And then, about a month later in August, I got a call from Dr. Cranmer, and he said, would you like to do something? We would like to create an online Braille depository of electronic Braille books that blind people can read and download. And I knew about the NLS Web Braille Project, and I said, now, first of all, my reaction was I just couldn't believe that Dr. Cranmer was calling me to do this. I mean, that was like getting a call from Santa Claus. I had never done anything like this. I didn't know anything about designing websites or HTML or anything. And here's this guy in Kentucky who's calling me up saying, I want you to build this depository. And obviously he saw some potential in me, and you know, he just knew that I wouldn't run from a challenge when it was put in front of me. Dr. Cranmer said to me, let's see if you can go assemble some volunteers who could get ASCII books from places like Project Gutenberg or wherever y'all can find them and translate them into grade 2 Braille. Let's put them online. I said, okay. So I began to put notices out on the some of the various blindness lists that we have out on the internet, and I began to assemble a team of volunteer translators and transcribers. We got these folks together and we started getting books ready to go on the site. So we started assembling some things, and finally Christmas time came, and I still had no earthly idea of how I was going to construct this site. We have a person who's a real great supporter, Lisa Hall. She's a good friend of ours from up the street. In fact, we live not too far from each other, and you know, and I was telling her about all this ever since we got it started. And if she knew the dilemma that I was in, that I was going to have to find the information that I needed so I could start building these web pages. So lo and behold, Christmas of 1998 came, and she brought me over this Christmas present. I opened it up, and it was two tutorials from Henter Joyce. And one of them was the Internet Explorer tutorial. So I get into that and started listening to the various tapes. And finally I came across the information for Microsoft Front Page Express. And, you know, and it mentioned in there that you could use it for designing web pages. I said, okay, I could use Front Page Express for that. In fact, nowadays I use Word, you know, to actually do my document layout and basic formatting and stuff, and then I usually do all my linking and comment and whatever insertions we're going to do in Front Page Express. So I got a hold of that and started creating the pages. We had miscommunications along the way and all kinds of things, because we have a gentleman out in California, a gentleman by the name of Brian Burrow, who he and his wife Marty are great folks. You know, they went out and found us the server space to serve as a home for the site, and they've done some great service. And you know, we had miscommunications. I thought that my job was just to get everything up there, and somebody else was going to do all the hyperlinking. And here it is, about May of 1998, and in the meantime, I had told Dr. Cranmer, you know, let's raise our expectations a little bit. We said we could open this thing up with 100 titles. I think we can do 1,000. And he said, if you're sure of that, then you go ahead and do it. And that is exactly what we did. But again, I had a real dilemma. I had, you know, that we had challenges, and that there were things that I didn't know that I was supposed to do, and creating all the hyperlinks was one of them. So here it is, May, and we've got almost 1,000 books online, and besides upload new stuff, I had to go back and link everything up so it would all work the way it was supposed to. But when all was said and done, all that sheer determination that I had to make this happen, because I had got a hold of the dream. You know, a lot of the technology and things that we have nowadays, you know, they all start with somebody's dream. You know, this broadcast was obviously yours and ACB's dream, to have a program where blindness related issues could be discussed via the net, and you know, whoever else carries them as well. Well, obviously this International Electronic Braille Library was a dream of the International Braille Research Center, to not only make electronic braille pedals materials available to not just blind people here in the United States, but to blind folks all around the world. You know, so I was hooked on the dream, and we were going to make this thing happen one way or other. And I told Dr. Cranmer, I said, we will go live on July 1st, 1998, with 1,000 titles. And in the middle of June, we uploaded our 1,000th book, and by this time we had pretty much gotten everything straightened out to where it would work halfway decently. you know, any trouble, any problems that we had to go back. We spent the better part of last fall and summer and fall correcting all the bugs and things. And that's, whenever you put a big website up like that, you're going to have it. And it even happens in the world of e-commerce. There was an e-commerce site that I used, that I and some other folks visit quite a bit, and it went live on September 1st of 1999, and nothing worked right. Nothing worked right, and I figured, well, not that I want to make excuses for us, but you know, if it can happen in e-commerce where websites don't work, you know, when they first come out of the starting gate, then I guess we're in good company. But over time, we went back and we corrected a lot of the problems that we had, and overall, everything works great and does, and you know, it works the way and performs the way it should now. And we're getting a lot of hits up there. Brian's been going to send me, you know, some statistical information, but I've yet to receive it to find out exactly, you know, where folks are accessing us from and things. And once we get that, we'll certainly post that on the IBRC website.
One of the differences between Web Braille and what you're doing is that what you're doing is available to anyone anywhere in the world, whereas Web Braille that NLS provides is only available to American citizens. So does that mean that you have quite a strong level of support from countries outside the U.S.?
Yeah, actually we do. In fact, just the other night, I got some email from a teacher of blind children down in Australia who was looking for books for her students. In fact, she was looking for Wuthering Heights, and I told her where to get it. And we've also had people visit us. We've had a number of people from Australia, and I'm sure that we've had folks from New Zealand. I know we've had some from the United Kingdom, Canada. You know, we get a lot of questions. Ever since we got the Electro Braille list up and running, a lot of people post there and they say, you know, can we access this these books, you know, in Timbuktu or wherever? I said, sure, as long as you understand, long as you know English Braille, and as long as you have a way of reproducing it, you know, either a paperless Braille display or a Braille-aware device like the Blazy note takers or the HumanWare Braille Note, and or if you've got a way to produce a hard copy and you understand English Braille, you'll go help yourself to all the books you want.
So you mentioned that you have a whole lot of titles from public domain sources, such as Project Gutenberg. When
right.
It comes to newer material that might be scanned, how do you go about dealing with the copyright issues that might be involved?
Well, I don't know what the situation is in a lot of other countries of the world, but here in the United States, several years ago, we were able to get the copyright laws modified to allow any non-grammatical materials to be reproduced in alternative formats. And the key word in that statement is alternative. Braille, enlarged text, recorded media for use by people with print disabilities, you know, such as the blind. And what it did is it gave those who produce books in alternative formats the capability of being able to move forward with the translation of these materials without first having to go and seek permission from the publishers. So permission is automatically granted to do that here in the United States. And again, this applies to non-dramatic works. So when we get into the area of music and things like, you know, music and drama, especially a lot of the recent stuff, you know, there are some sticking points there, but I believe that too is being worked on to make it easier to be able to reproduce this to reproduce even these in alternative formats. And you know, one of the interesting things that happened when we were getting ready to launch the site, people were saying, you know, we had some people were saying, you know, you're going to start that thing up, you know, it's an open site, it's not password protected, you know, about all these copyright concerns and stuff. Well, we've been online now for over a year, and we have not had any problems whatsoever. In fact, the very opposite has occurred. We had Mary and I are involved in a networking business, and We have major functions that occur. We have one that occurs usually around the latter part of August and September, and there are a lot of your professional athletes and other business professionals, folks who attend these things, and they also have entertainment there as well. And one of the people who was at last year's function in Phoenix was none other than country singer Penny DeHaven. She was a top country singer back in the late 60s and early 70s, and we had a chance to meet her and talk to the people that were running her booth, and they told us about a book that featured her testimony. She has since become a Christian, and she's also had to overcome a bout with cancer. And in one of the books that we put up recently, it's called Yes Lord I'm Coming Home. It's a collection of testimonies and about the spiritual lives of leading country stars, and she's featured in there. And we told her what we were doing, and she and her people were very, very supportive. You know, I told her about this, and her reaction was, "Isn't that amazing what technology can do? I think that is absolutely wonderful. By all means, put it online. Will you please?" And most recently as several weeks ago, when we launched the Electro Braille list, and remind me to give the subscription information after a while, there was another person who was also an author. She came on and said, "Look, I've got a book that I want you guys to put on your website so that blind people around the world can read it." And she even offered to go and pull the copy off of the NLS Web Braille site, you know, and say, and send it to me so we could put it up there. And one thing that we've been very careful to do is not to ruffle any feathers. And I had to write back and say, "I appreciate your enthusiasm, but if you could get your publisher to send you an ASCII copy, to send us an ASCII copy, we'll go ahead and make our own. Yeah, but we certainly appreciate your good intentions, and we're certainly more than willing to put up your book." And there's a good friend of ours from Austin. Her name is Andrea Moore, and her pen name is Andrea, by the way. She has just finished. She has just begun to promote a book that she wrote. It's called "Death Has Many Songs," and it's might say it's kind of one of these multimedia books, and that each chapter of the book has a song on a CD which comes with the book that she recommends that you listen to while you're reading the book. And she has agreed to let us somehow upload those tracks and set up and set this thing up online so that when a reader goes to read the book online and they go into, let's say, chapter one, which deals with creating your living will, we'll do an insertion so that way, what if you have the sound card speakers attached and you know your braille display, you can be reading the text in your braille display, and the song will come down and start playing. I keep saying that we're going to take online braille to the next level. This is just one example of what I'm talking about. As some other folks that we know say, with this kind of technology and stuff, we've only begun scratching the scratch of the scratch of the scratch, if you will. You know, there are applications for online and internet braille that probably haven't even been thought of yet. And I think in the next year you're going to see some of that on our website.
Can I just clarify then, if somebody scans a book, let's say that they scan it for their own recreational reading, and they're using an Open Book or Kurzweil, both of which have the ability to save files as braille files, are they then permitted to just upload what they've scanned as a braille file?
In theory, you sure could, yes. You know, either upload it or you could send it to us and we'll put it up, but we would strongly recommend that you proofread all your stuff and make sure that it's quality braille, that it's something that that we would want to put up and that other blind folks would want to read. Certainly, certainly we always encourage our people who translate for us, you know, to please do. I know that in a lot of cases where people don't have braille displays and things, it's easier said than done. But make every effort you can to proof your work. because we want you to, you know, we want it to be something that white people are going to enjoy reading, and they're not going to get frustrated having to deal with to wallow through a bunch of junk.
Presumably, those people who don't have braille displays but have a program like Kurzweil 1000 or one of those other translator packages can actually back translate this stuff.
Yes, they can, as long as they keep it for their own personal use. Kurzweil 1000 does have that capability.
How many titles do you have online now?
I would have to say that we have at least over 1,000 right now. And I've kind of lost track, but I believe we got about 1,100 right now. But but certainly if we can get a bigger team of volunteers and we really double our efforts, we can certainly have a lot more, and that's going to happen over time. And we've got some interesting things coming down the pike. I already mentioned about Andrea's book, which is going to present some technical challenges for us, but it'll also, even despite its subject matter, it's going to show us, it's going to let folks see the possibilities of this type of technology. And something I might want to say is, I know that some of this sound like something that's going to be more appropriate for an era when you can go out and buy a braille display, like you can go out and buy a TV set or a stereo or a household appliance. And yes, that's true. But some people are probably going to say, well, braille display technology and stuff like that isn't cheap. Why go through all the trouble to create this new level online braille? And my answer to that is to create the demand. If we could put up, let's say, for example, think of this situation. You're a song leader in a church, and you have an internet, a computer, an internet connection. Let's say you have a braille display connected, and that there's an online hymnal on our site. What that person could do is they could, when it comes time to lead the hymns and stuff in church, they would select the hymn that the pastor has chosen for that, for the Sunday service. They would access it from our site. The braille would appear on the braille display, and a MIDI file would come down and start playing the melody. I know that is, sound like something that's about 5 or 10 years off, but if we don't start moving towards stuff like this, and if we don't start putting these things up and demonstrating the capabilities and the possibilities of this technology, then we're not going to create an atmosphere in which blind people are beating on the doors of people who make these devices to find technologies that will bring down the price.
It's a bit like brow karaoke, really, what you're describing.
That's right, that's right.
Okay, so let's talk about where people can find the website and then move on to talking about the new email list that you've established to keep people informed about the site.
Okay. To access the website, you go to www.braille.org. That's the main website for the International Braille Research Center. And in addition to the online materials, braille materials collection, there's also a lot of scholarly papers and other information you can read in other areas concerning the history, development, and use of braille. But once you get on that site, follow the links to the online braille library. I think I'm going to see if I can get that link name changed to the International Electronic Braille Library. But once you get on that site, just follow the links to that to the online Braille Library. I believe that's what it's called. I personally like the name International Electronic Braille Library myself, because it tells what we're all about. We're a library of electronic books and materials that can be accessed by any blind person from anywhere in the world. The list. When we first started out the list, we called it eBraille, But we found out that that was a that the term e-braille was a trademark by one of the was a trademark of one of the braille translator companies, and so naturally we wanted to keep in good with everybody, so we changed the name to Electro Braille, the electronic braille list, and we have, and basically what we're all about is to discuss the production of books, books and materials in electronic braille format, and also the discussion of creating and maintaining online braille collections like the ones like the NLS's Web Braille and the International Electronic Braille Library and whoever else has a similar collection around the world. So, constructing and maintaining those is certainly a permissible topic. Anything that has to do with the, with the production and use of online Braille books and materials. If you want to subscribe, send a email message to electrobraille, that's electrobraille subscribe at egroups.com, and what'll happen is you'll get a message back, asking you if you indeed want to join this list, and you need to send that back, and that'll put you on. So if anybody has any thoughts or would like to get in on the discussion, by all means subscribe to the list. And also, as I mentioned earlier, we are still looking for volunteers. I have to make a special mention that, at this point, we're relying on volunteers who can help us translate more materials into electronic braille, so we can help, so we can keep building this collection. Primarily, what we're interested in doing is increasing our offerings of literary titles, and we're also starting to construct our braille music archive as well. So if there's anybody that wants to help us with that, we can certainly use it. And if anybody has electronic braille material that they've had sitting around and they're just not sure what they want to do with it, but they know that the blind people out there in the world could make use of it, you can certainly send that to me, and I'll be willing to give my contact info in a bit here. We'll take a look at it, and we'll be glad to put it online. And that's anything, literary titles, textbooks, braille music. You can either email it to us, or you can send it via snail mail, and we'll be glad to put it online.
Sounds good. So how can people get hold of you?
Okay. My address is Peter Donahue, and that last name is spelled Donahue. And street address is 100, that's 100, Lorenz, and that is Lorenz Road, apartment 1205. San Antonio, Texas, 78209. My phone number here is area code 210-826-9579. And our email is pdonahue, and that's pdonahue@texas.net.